You're about to get some information you can actually use. It's what we do here on American Viewpoints with Mike Ferguson.
When we have a battle of policies, when we have a battle of politics, when we have a battle of ideas, at some point we have a battle of language. We have a battle of words. That's how we change minds in this country, is through the words that we use. And I've said on the air a number of times over the years, if you can control words, eventually you have a pretty good chance of controlling thought, which is why the debate over a lot of the key political and cultural issues of the day oftentimes lie on a foundation of how are we going to define them. I found a really interesting article about that this week. I'm Mike Ferguson. Thank you for staying with us here on American Viewpoints. And that article was found in the American Conservative, and it was written by Frank DeVito, who joins me right now. And Frank, the premise of your entire article is not in their words, meaning that when you're engaging with the left, with you coming from the conservative side, you're saying that the definitions and the framework matter a lot to the discussion. Why can't we use the other side's language and still have a really good chance of winning the debate and winning people over?
Yeah, that's a great way to frame it. Thanks, Mike, for having me on, first of all. Happy to talk about this. So why shouldn't we use the left's terms or language when we're discussing these issues? I want to break it briefly into two parts. So I know we want to get to the practical, but on principle, I think there's a matter of truth, right? As personally, as a Catholic Christian, as a person of faith, I think it's important to speak truth, right? And so when we're talking about these social issues, we're not speaking the truth when we're using the left's terms, right? To call surgical procedures that attempt to quote unquote change someone's gender, that's not gender affirming care. That's not what it is. You're not affirming someone's gender. You're altering healthy bodies, right? So that's just one example. There are many, but that's the first one. On principle, it's not true to speak in the left's terms because the left's terms are not true. So I think that's important right out of the gate. But practically, we don't win when we speak on the left's terms. And so I'll preface this briefly by saying there are people we're not going to win against, right? There are people who are very ideologically motivated on these issues. They're hardline progressives, and we're not going to convince them. But that's not really who I'm talking to most of the time. I think that's not who we are generally talking to when we're having these conversations, right? Who we're often talking to is like what I call normies. That's kind of shop talk, but normal people, right? They're not particularly political. They don't identify as hard left, hard right. And on a lot of these social issues, they're uncomfortable with what the left has done, especially in the last 10 years. It goes much farther back than that. But we're not going to win their hearts and minds. We're not going to convince them of the truth of our positions if we're arguing on the left's terms. So again, the gender affirming care one is a good example. When you use that terminology, it's like, well, you know, affirming is good, right? We want to affirm people. And if this helps them, then why would we oppose gender affirming care? Why would we oppose a woman's right to choose? Why would we oppose marrying whoever you want to marry? Those things don't play very well, right? People want a positive vision of why they should believe what we're pitching them. And so when we spin these things in a positive way, when we use our own tradition, our own language, I think we're just much more effective, right? The marriage one is a good one. Opposing the right to love who you love, that's a loser, right? But articulating the traditional biological and spiritual reality of man and woman, how they complement each other, how monogamous unions between a man and a woman for life are the best habitat to raise and form children in, those are better arguments. I think you can go a long way to convincing people of your position when you articulate things with a positive vision. I think that's impossible when you're playing on the left's terms. You're already using defensive language. You're already losing.
We're visiting with Frank DeVito, and you can see his article called Not on Their Terms at the American Conservative, and we'll give out that website information in just a moment. All right, Frank, when it comes to language, typically mainstream legacy media has already bought into the framing that generally comes from the left. You mentioned gender-affirming care. You mentioned the word choice when it comes to abortion. And so if you're overwhelmed in society with the definitions just being looked at as accepted, the baseline is gender-affirming care for, you know, a child who's going to be put through a castration or a double mastectomy. How do you bridge that when you're actually talking to somebody face-to-face and you're talking about an intellectual or heart level discussion about these incredibly divisive issues?
Yeah, the practical question of how to engage this, that's a really good question. And I think it comes with just honest, disarming language. So first of all, I think it's important not to approach people in a hostile way, right? So if somebody uses a term like gender-affirming care, right, to respond with, well, I actually don't use that terminology. Let me tell you why, right? And you can go into the positive vision however you want. You can talk about how gender is actually not a good term to use for humans. You can talk about how we're not actually affirming them, but we're harming them. But I think that's the approach. You really have to start with a gentle explanation of, I know that's the common term. You know, you don't want to put people on the defensive as if they said something terrible, but you want to gently approach it and explain to them why that's not a good term to use and doesn't accurately articulate what you believe about the issue.
And that's hard to do, though, when you've got issues that are literally life and death and moral versus immoral and just plain old right and wrong. That's tough to bridle yourself like that in those situations.
It absolutely is. That's why I wrote the article, because I think this issue of using nuanced positive language, it takes thought, right? Because if we're passionate about these issues, which we should be, it's very hard to rein ourselves in. So I think you have to stop and thoughtfully reflect on, when I'm approached on issue A, B, C, it's going to be hostile. It's going to be language that makes me uncomfortable, makes me angry. What's the best approach? And I'm a lawyer, right? So I think a lot about language and what are the best ways to rationally argue. But I think that's an important point for anybody to consider, even if they're not a lawyer, filing legal briefs or writing op-eds, even if they're just talking to their friends or their coworkers, to really take a moment to think about how they use language. I think it goes a really long way.
Yeah, and Frank, we like to think, and those who are on the right tend to think, that if we're right, if we're correct, if we've got the good moral or economically sound or policy sound position, that if we can just get to the truth, we win. It all works out in the end, as long as we're going towards truth. But what I'm hearing you say, and of course, my degree and career has been in communications, I will endorse what you're saying, is absolutely correct, is that, yes, we want to be heading towards the truth, but at the same time, we have to be strategic with how we present that truth to other people. If you disagree on language, that doesn't mean you're calling anybody a liar. It just says we need to have an accurate platform for the discussion.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll just say this, in the classical understanding of education, right, going back for millennia, involved training, especially children from a young age, in grammar, rhetoric, and logic. Because before you can, it's one thing to know things, but it's quite important to articulate yourself in a way that's precise, that's positive, and that's persuasive. I agree with you. It's not just about getting the issue right, but it's about articulating it, presenting it in the best way possible.
How can you tell in a conversation if somebody kind of perks up, or if they're actually interested in hearing when you say, I don't accept your language, let me tell you why? What are those areas you want to look for to where you might have somebody who's at least open-minded? But, you know, the reality is that when you affirm that language that people are using, whether it's abortion or the gender dysphoria or labor unions or whatever the case is, if they've accepted that terminology for a long time, it could be hard to let go of that.
Yeah. So I would say two things. I think for one, if somebody's just completely unreceptive, I tend to see it pretty quickly, because they either get passionate and yell, or they shut down and they don't want to talk about it anymore. Right. So my understanding is, if somebody's still speaking to me in a reasonable tone and has not shut down, then there's at least a chance of them being open. And then I would also say that you can affect that, because there are some people who maybe feel pretty strongly about these things. But again, if you approach it in terms of, well, this is why I don't use that term, would you hear me out, versus, that's bad language, I would never talk like that, you know, the former approach may open up more people. Whereas if you yell at them, they're going to dig in, you're going to dig in, the productive conversation's over.
Okay. The article is called Not on Their Terms. You can find it at theamericanconservative.com. It was written by Frank DeVito. Frank, do you have any websites or social media people want to connect with you and follow what you're doing?
So I try to stay off social media as much as I can. I am pretty active on LinkedIn, so you can find me on LinkedIn. All of my articles at The American Conservative and some other columns, you can always find me on LinkedIn.
All right, Frank, thanks so much for the conversation. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike. Anytime.
Well, I hope you're having a great Labor Day holiday weekend. So let's talk labor and unions and workers and policies and freedom. It's just ahead right here on American Viewpoints.